Gemara Maseches Erevin tells us there's a difference between a tainus that's observed on the regular day, the day that actually falls out, in contrast to when the tainus is what we call a nidchel, when the tainus falls out on Shabbos, and for whatever reason, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, we know that, you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, so the tainus is pushed off to the next day. So the Gemara highlights this difference when it comes to a Tisha B'Av nidchel. Tisha B'Av, of course, is the most chomer of all the tainus, except obviously if you're in Kippur. So the Gemara says that a Tisha B'Av, which is on the regular day of Ninth B'Av, is a much more serious type of tainus than a Tisha B'Av that's a Tisha B'Av nidchel. How does this difference express itself in halacha? So the Gemara says the following. Sometimes you have a conflict between, on the one hand, you want to fast, you're supposed to fast on the day of Tisha B'Av. On the other hand, you're making a private yontif that day, you're having a private simcha that day. What kind of a private simcha are you having that day? So the Gemara describes that there used to be a practice in the days of the Beis HaMikdash that they would have a rotation as to which families would bring karbanos of eitzim. You had to bring different karban eitzim all the time to replenish the stock of the Beis HaMikdash. So different families would volunteer to bring at different times of the year the different wood. So those days when the wood would be brought to the Beis HaMikdash was a tremendous Yom Simcha. It was a big party. Their family would be so excited. They'd bring all come up to the Beis HaMikdash. They'd have a big suda. So that practice of having a suda and having a party in connection with the offering of the Korban Eitzim, that practice kept up even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So even though there was no Simcha anymore, there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore, but Alfa B'Chen is a Zeichet, you know, to the good old days, they used to have a Simcha. So the Gemara views that Simcha as like a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, now, even though there was no Korban Eitzim anymore, but Alfa B'Chen, since it was all instituted as a part of the celebration of the doing the Mitzvah, of bringing the Korban, so that was considered to be a Simcha Shal Mitzvah. So the Gemara says that there was one family that their day of bringing the Korbanos of Eitzim was on Yud Ba'av. That was the day of Reisanav ben Menashe, I think what is the name of the family. But their day that was designated was the 10th of Av. So the question became, after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed, they kept on observing this custom on the 10th of Av. So 10th of Av was no problem. So you come and you have a big party. They would gather in the town and they would make a big suda and a big party. They would dance and sing everything on the 10th of Av. Wonderful. The only problem is every couple of years, the 10th of Av is Tisha B'Av, because every couple of years the ninth of Av falls out on Shabbos. So when the ninth of Av falls out on Shabbos, you have to push off the ninth of Av to the tenth of Av. You have to observe the times of Tisha B'Av on the tenth of Av. Now it turns out you have a conflict. So on the one hand, we have a Simcha Shal Mitzvah that we want private. We call a Yontif Shalah, a private Yontif of Yechidim. On the other hand, we have a Tainus Tzibur. So I would have said that the Tainus Tzibur is more important than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not more important than a couple of guys making a party for Eitzim for a Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't even exist anymore. So that's what I would have said. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that in Okinami, that if Tisha B'Av would have been in the ninth of Av, so then that's the highest level of Tisha B'Av, and you can't be doicha that. You're not going to have your private party be doicha Tisha B'Av. But since it's already nidchid, Tisha B'Av is already not in the right zman. It's already been pushed off to the tenth of Av. So even though the din is you have to fast in the tenth of Av, but it's considered to be a lower level of Tisha B'Av. And therefore, a private yontif, the Simcha Shal Mitzvah of a private yontif, has the ability to be Deicha Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says that even though it has the ability to be Deicha Tisha B'Av Nibcha, you shouldn't eat in the morning of Tisha B'Av. You shouldn't mamish forget Tisha B'Av totally. You observe a little bit of a tainus, the halfway till Zman Mincha, you observe half the day of Tisha B'Av. And afterwards, you can have your party, you can have your suda. That's what it says in the Gemara. So the Rishonim write in that Gemara that this Gemara has ramifications for us. We don't have any people who are making parties for the Korban Eitzim anymore, but we do have other kinds of private parties. We have other Simcha Shal Mitzvah. So, for example, a person making a bris, turns out that he ate a baby. Turns out on the Tisha B'Av it's Nidcha. So the Rishonim write that if a person would have a bris mila on a Tisha B'Av Nidcha, so then the Balei Bris, those who are really celebrating the bris, who are the celebrating of the bris? So the father, it's a big Simcha for him. The Moyo and the Sandik, those are the three Balei Bris. Other people who come to visit, come to eat bagels, that's a nice mitzvah, but they're not called the Balei Bris. So the three Balei Bris are the father, the Sandik, and the Moyo. So the Rishonim write, they have a tradition, they call it the Rishonim Rabbeinu Yavetz, who said that one time it happened, he was about bris on a Tisha B'Av Nidcha, and he followed what says the Gemara. It's the same way the Gemara says, you're allowed to eat on a Tisha B'Av Nidcha in the afternoon. Who did not be allowed to eat for the purpose of bris mila and tishba mincha as well. That's what says Shulchan Aruch in Uchas Tishba. Remember when my son, my oldest son, Me'achav, was born, so he was actually born on, it was a year that was a tishba of mincha, and as we were getting close to the tishba, so I was wondering whether this halacha would really be the Maisa. He was a couple of days late, he was born on Zayin Av. If he would have been born on Gimel Av, it was 4 days late. If he were born on Gimel Av, so his bris would have been on Yud Av, and then he would have turned out to be a Tisha B'Av Nidcha. So I gave a whole drasha, the Shabbat, two Shabbos before, gave a whole drasha about what will happen if he's born, but he didn't cooperate with the Shia, but you know, that was the Shia. Anyway, so why are we talking about this now, about Tisha B'Av? So we're talking about it because today is a very unique type of a tzom gedayah. It's a tzom gedayah that's nilcha also. So there's a big machlokes at Poskim about tzom gedayah is not, let's say, I have a shavuos and a tamas and nilcha. It's not going to be more chomer than Tisha B'Av. So if Tisha B'Av nilcha is mutter iran for the Baal HaBrisot, to shavuos and a tamas nilcha would also be mutter. There's a machlek is a poskim whether on a shavuos and a tamas nilcha you have to wait until after chatzos. Maybe some machlekim say that only on Tisha B'Av, which is Tisha B'Av nilcha, still Tisha B'Av, so you have to wait until after chatzos. Maybe on shavuos and a tamas nilcha you can eat in the morning, and then say it's the same as Tisha B'Av. But tzom gedayah nilcha is not going to be chomer than Tisha B'Av. So obviously, if a person would be making a bris today, so the Baalei bris would be permitted to eat, so the father would be permitted to eat, the mother would be permitted to eat, and the son would be permitted, not permitted, would be required to, because there's a mitzvah of simcha, it's supposed to be a yontif, it's a private yontif, the three Baalei bris, so they'd be required to eat today. Nevertheless, the place came up in Machlekes, what about if it's a regular tzom gedayah? So you have a tzom gedayah, which is not mitzvah, tzom gedayah on the third day of Tishrei, it wouldn't have been Shabbos yesterday. So some achronim suggest that some gedayah by definition is always called nitcha. Why? Because some gedayah didn't die on the third day of. He wasn't killed on the third day of Tishrei. He was killed on Rosh Hashanah. So we never stuck. We can't fast some gedayah on Rosh Hashanah because we pass in Shulchan Aruch and Aleph fast on Rosh Hashanah. So some achronim say some gedayah is always nitcha. It really should have been an Aleph Tishrei. It's pushed off the Gimel Tishrei. So it always has the status of a more lenient tainus. So anytime you have a bris on some gedayah ever. You can always eat on some gedayah. That's what some achmerim say. So most of the achmerim disagree with that. Most poskim say, that some gedayah is not called the nidcha in a regular year. Nidcha means that the original tacharas l'chamah was to fast on the ninth day, and at Nebuch Shabbos the calendar worked out in such a way we can't fast today. So Nebuch we have to push it off until tomorrow. That's what nidcha means. Some gedayah is not a nidcha. Some gedayah, the original takana was, the original kabbalah was, to fast on Gimel Tishrei, since it was impossible for the Masakh to fast on Aleph Tishrei. So we may have the Masakh to fast on Gimel Tishrei, they have no choice. That's not called a nidcha. So that's what we assume. We assume that at some gedayah, on a regular some gedayah, Baalei bris would not be permitted to eat. But if at some gedayah nidcha, like this year, once in a while, so at some gedayah nidcha taka today, the Baalei bris would be permitted to eat, the Baalei bris would be required to eat. So a couple of years ago, I was a sandik at some gedayah. I was in Nidcha, like this year. So I was so excited. And Mamash thought it was going to be my once in a lifetime opportunity. I lost that with Miracle. I thought maybe I'd get this once in a lifetime opportunity to actually eat on the Titus Tiba of Torah's Mitzvah. Shachir, even the Titus Tiba. So they asked me to be the Sandik for the Bris. And then they told me the bad news. They told me that, the complicated news. They told me that the Bris was going to be late in the afternoon. Because some people, when they have a bris at the Titus Tiba, it's very convenient for people. Because people have to come first in the morning to the bris, and everyone goes home and comes back at night for the Suda. So people don't like to do that. So some people make the bris late in the afternoon. They make it, right before Mincha. Right after Mincha, about 5 minutes before Shkia, they make the bris, and then everyone waits for 20 minutes and have Maariv, and then they eat. Whether you're supposed to do that or not is a different question, because there is a din of Zrizah by giving the mitzvahs. The Gemara Pesachim with Avdalot says you're supposed to do mitzvahs for Zrizahs. So Zrizahs, we assume, means before Chatzais. You're not mechuyev to make a bris at 6 o'clock in the morning, so it's Netzach Chama. So you're not mechuyev to make a bris at 6:01. You can make a bris any time in the morning if you're Drezach and daily dilly dally to lift the chatzos. So that's already considered to be a lack of a reason why people limit us. The Kozman, it's still my bike, the Ashkenazi Rabbi Rabbi, it's still my bike, and that's considered to be the reason why people limit us. One mitzvah that we spoke about this last week, we daf delay to Kiyashayf. Kiyashayf is one mitzvah that we go out of our way not to blow so early. Because we want to wait till a few hours into the day for a variety of reasons we spoke about last week. But meal we always try to do early in the morning. Yeah. And if you delay past chatzais, so that would be considered to be a lack of a reasonable dinu mitzvah. That becomes a shayla, and you have to weigh reasonable dinu mitzvahs against rovel hadas melech. Let's say I want to have more people to come to the bris. If I make it at 8 in the morning, no one's going to come. So that's the question. Probably the more correct thing to do is to make the bris in the morning. Sometimes you have shalom bat, different factors, stressful factors that go into the equation. But the correct thing to do is when you have a bris of a tanis tibur, is to really have the bris in the morning, then you have the suda, after it says kichavim. But when it's on a nidcha, so then the other people who are invited can eat, but the Baalei bris, the father, the mother, the son, they can in fact eat, so that would be the din. So this particular bris, they told me they're making the bris late in the afternoon. So the shara, so can I eat? So I said, why don't I eat in the morning? I said, how can I eat? The bris didn't take place yet. So the chara is only considered to be a simcha. It's only a yom tif. Once the bris takes place, we don't say tachlin before also, but be matir to eat before the actual bris takes place sounds a little bit funny. So I said, I didn't eat that yet. So I had to wait till it takes like everybody else. But in theory, I could have eaten 5 minutes before shkia, right? When's the bris? Kitzur for that. So for that, Lumbus isn't worth it. Okay, good. Anyway, sure. So that's a bit of Tainus Nircha. The question is, why do we even have a concept of Tainus Nircha B'chlal? Why is there such a concept? Why don't we just fast on Shabbos? What's the big deal? Why are you not allowed to fast on Shabbos? What's not to fast on Shabbos? That was yesterday, Shabbos with Russia, so we'll try to sum it up in a few minutes. So why can't you fast on Shabbos under normal circumstances? So there is a very remarkable statement that the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of the Sefer Abu Dharam. The Abu Dharam was a Peirush, it was written on the Siddur, a lot of the Chaim things. So the Abu Dharam, before the Siddur of the Beis Yosef, Abu Dharam writes the following Chiddush. He writes that it would appear to him that if a third Peirush falls out on Shabbos, then you're mechuyav to fast even on Shabbos. He says, Tisha B'Av, you don't fast on Shabbos, and Shavuos B'Tamuz, you don't fast on Shabbos, and Tzom G'day, you don't fast on Shabbos. But Asar B'Tevish Chavos B'Shabbos, he thinks that's the din, you have to fast even on Shabbos. My hand, I hate to so he says, because it says by Asar B'Tevish in Rav Yechezkel that the events of Asar B'Tevish, that the siege was around set around Yerushalayim, it says, Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. So on that day, on the 10th day of Tevish, the siege was set, it says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh. It says Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh B'Yom Kippur. So just as Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh Yom Kippur, you have to fast on Shabbos, so to Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh Asar B'Tevis, you have to fast on Shabbos as well. So it's also in the Abu Dharam. So the Beis Yosef writes, he doesn't think it's right. He says, "Minayin lo davar zeh." Where did he come up with the Gzeirah Shavah? Where does this come from? Yom Kippur, Asar B'Tevis, lo shema lo davar zeh miyom. So Tach, who's right? Should be very easy to check, because what happens? Do we fast? We're not fast. What's the answer? What's the answer? Do we fast for Asar B'Tevis falls down on Shabbos? Because it doesn't fall on Shabbos. The way our calendar is set up, it's impossible to fall on Shabbos. It hasn't fell out on Shabbos in 1700 years, since the days of Hillel Sheni. So what were they were arguing about what they did before Hillel Sheni, when they used to be Mekadosh Shapir Iyas, and then anything could happen. It could be a Heftevel. Any day could happen, any day of the year. So Lu Yitzu, you would have an Asar B'Tevis on Shabbos, what do you do? The drum says you fast, the Beis Yosef says, he doesn't think it's true. It's very hard to prove who's right, because it doesn't happen anymore. The calendar is set in place, it's not going to happen anymore. The calendar will no longer be set in place once Mashiach comes. Then the Rishonim, right, we're going to go back to the old way, the Mekadosh HaPiriyah, but then we won't have a Sopet Tevis anymore, because it won't be a Tainus anymore. It will be Yimei Sos Masimcha. So we're never going to know the answer to this question. Left to ask those people who were around from before the Mekadosh HaPiriyah, and what did they do when a Sopet Tevis fell out? Who was right? Every drum was just what's the Abu Dharam talking about? What does that mean? It's compared to Yom Kippur, it's a name of Zeh. So again, what's going on? So Reb Chaim has a famous beer in this Abu Dharam. Reb Chaim writes that there is a Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Brachot, where the Gemara says that one is permitted to fast the Tainus Chaloyim on Shabbos. If a person has a bad dream, and it's very, very distressing, very, it bothers them very much, they're very nervous about it, so they're permitted to fast even on Shabbos. The Gemara says that don't think it's the greatest mitzvah in the world to fast even on Shabbos, because in the end, Lamaisi, you lost out to the Shabbos. It's mutter to do it, but it's not so great, and therefore you have to be mechaper for the Aveira, so to speak. Even though it was mutter, but you have to be mechaper for the fact that you lost out to the Shabbos. So the Gemara says you have to fast again on Sunday to be mechaper for not eating to the Shabbos. You get two tainis for the price of one. It's because you're not going on a diet, so you have a bad dream, so you get you get 48 hours of tainis. Eat in between, you can have a lot more in between. So what does that mean? Reb says that you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. We don't fast Tishbuf on Shabbos. We don't fast Shabbos at the Tabbos on Shabbos. We don't fast Tzom G'day on Shabbos. So Mehecha Teisa, that you're allowed to fast the Tainus Chalom, a private Tainus person had a bad dream and he feels so distressed about it. It's not as that we tell people who have bad dreams, don't get so distressed about it. If you're not so upset about it, if you're not so nervous about it, then you know, not equipped to fast. When a person, Mamish, drives is crazy, he's so nervous, he's so shaking from the dream, then maybe you should fast. But usually we don't encourage people to have Tainus Chalom. So comes Reb Chaim and says, well, how are you talking about Shabbos? How can a person fast on Shabbos? You're not allowed to fast Tishbuf on Shabbos. Reb Chaim says, if you look at the Gemara says two things about a Tainus Chalom. The Gemara says that a Tainus Chalom has to be Dafka Bo Bayom. You have to fast Dafka on that day. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Bafilu B'Shabbos. What does it mean, Afilu Bo Bayom? So Afilu Bo Bayom means that, let's say a person has a bad dream on a Tuesday night. He wakes up shaking, sweat, on Wednesday morning. He wants to fast. But then he realizes, I can't fast today. Well, I can't fast today. I have a final today. I'm going on vacation today. Whatever. I'm busy today. Yeah. Next week, it'll be, next week, we'll have some time. It'll be between the semester break. We'll have a couple, we'll have to sleep late. It won't be so busy. I'll fast next week. I can't. I got three finals that I can't afford to fast today. So the Gemara says you can't do that. The Gemara says if you really want to fast a Tanis Chalom, you have to fast by the Yom. Why? Because the whole idea of a Tanis Chalom is supposed to be a form of tshuva. The person is afraid that there was a Gezeirat Din in Shemayim. He's afraid that maybe the dream is indicative of some bad decree in Shemayim. And he's shaking, he's so nervous of it. So he wants to be Chayzi B'tshuva. So he wants to use the Tanis as a mechanism, as a form of being Chayzi B'tshuva. So he's going to be Chayzi B'tshuva. He's only going to be Chayzi B'tshuva when he's still shaking. But he's still nervous. And the next week already, he forgot about the dream. The next week he's not so concerned about the dream. The tshuva that a person does when he's scared, the tshuva a person does, b'shas te'ila, I won't do tshuva in the eel. I'll wait till next week to do tshuva. Next week you'll be in Hershey Park for Chol Moed Sukkos. Your mind's not going to be able to be Chayz b'tshuva. But the Sifri Chayim, Sifri Meis, I'm so full of fun, not to be Chayz b'tshuva. So the guy's dream, the guy just woke up in a sweat and he's so nervous, maybe Chalil will be the Kuyam, but then the Tachos will be meaningful. So next week is a waste of time. It's not you're not going to get anything from the time. So Tachos Chalom is only effective if it's birthday. So comes Yom Chayim and says, look at the Gemara. The Gemara makes two statements about Tachos Chalom, mamish one after another. First the Gemara says you have to fast by Bayon, and then the Gemara says Afilu B'Shabbos. What's the Hemshech HaDvar? What's the connection between those two statements? What does the Gemara first say by Bayon, and then Mamash on the heels of that statement Afilu B'Shabbos? Chaim says that those two statements are really totally Zev Zev. Chaim says the Yisrael HaDvar is that there's nothing intrinsically also about fasting on Shabbos at Tainus Chalom. You know why you're allowed to, you know why in Tainus we don't fast on Shabbos? How come we don't fast Tishbuk on Shabbos? How come we don't fast Shabbos on Batamas? How come we don't fast Tangedai on Shabbos? So Chaim says the point is like this. Sometimes the Tainus is linked to a specific day. So you have to fast today. What do you know? I have no choice. I have to fast today. So Chaim says, even on Shabbos you would be permitted to fast. The only reason why we usually shy away, we usually don't fast on Shabbos, is because you have another option available to you. The Marshal says, "Reb Chaim, you have a Tishvav Shchalas B'Shabbos. So Tishvav Shchalas B'Shabbos, you have to fast today. Why can't you fast tomorrow? I can't fast tomorrow. Tomorrow is Yudav, it's not Tishvav. Oh, remember the Gemara Masechet Tainus. The one at the end of Tainus says that the Chacham will try to figure out when is the correct day to be kaveh the Tainus for the events of the Korban. So there was Svaros Lekan Lekan. So Rabbi Yechanan said that they would have asked him. They didn't ask him. He was ready after the Korban." Rabbi Yechon and Yamayri said, they would have asked him, he would have said that we really shouldn't be fasting on the 9th of Av. We shouldn't be fasting on the 10th of Av. That's what most of the basically were destroyed. The fire started in the end of the 9th, late in the day of the 9th, and it burned into the 10th. That's why we have a minute to keep them in Hagim, many of them in Hagim of Avelos, at least the Chatzais, on the 10th day. So comes Rabbi Yechon and says, the really correct day to observe as a commemoration for the Churban is really the 10th day of Av. So how come we don't do that? So the Gemara says that everybody else disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan, and they felt that Tchilus Pernus Adi for that. Lamaisa, the fire was set in the night. Lamaisa, that's when the basement started to go up in flames. So that's the day that was designated by Chazal as the Yom of Tainus. But the Svar could have been Fakir. You could have made a case that it should be the 10th day. So Reb Chaim, normally we fast on the 9th day. That's the day Chazal thinks. That's the more appropriate day. But it's not that the 10th day is inappropriate. Right? The 10th of Av is a meaningless time. The 10th of Av could have also been the Tainus. It also makes sense to fast on the 10th of Av. So therefore, Reb Chaim says, if you have a choice of fasting on Shabbos on the 9th, if fasting on Sunday on the 10th, make a taste of the Shabbos. Why should you not eat Shabbos? Why should you be the sign on Shabbos? Why do you have Anik? Have Shalakim Shnei? We have Anik Shabbos and Shabbos. And on Sunday, you'll be eating the dinner fasting on the 9th/10th of Av. Well, let's say Shabbos of Tammuz. Shabbos of Tammuz is so chashuv to fast on the 17th day of Tammuz. The number 17 is written in stone. The Gemara says in Masechet Tainis that we have a Messiah that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached on the 17th day of Tammuz. There are a lot of things happened on the 17th day of Tammuz. The luchos were broken, other things happened. But you get the impression of the Gemara that what really, really mattered, what really Chazal will convey the Tainis was because of the Churban. Those are other things. Those are Eidish Lomas. Other things happened as well. But the real Makor Patrish, what really was led us to be Kaveh the Tainus of Shabbos of Tammuz, was the breaching of the wall, which was considered to be in a sense of Chilas HaChorban. So the Gemara says we have a Messiah that happened on the 17th day of Tammuz in Bayis Sheni, but in Bayis Rishon it did not happen there. The Gemara says, if you look at the Pesukim, describes exactly what happened in Bayis Rishon. It says it happened on the 9th day of Tammuz. So the walls weren't even broken on the first place of Mikdash on the 17th day of Tammuz. So the truth is now we fast on Tammuz. So we fast on Shavuos of Tammuz. Why do we pick the 17th over the 9th? So the Gemara says, because Bayis Sheni, Chul Bayis Sheni was more chomer. Chul Bayis Sheni is longer, it's still suffering, it's been thousands of years already. But the Gemara was written, it was only hundreds of years, now it's been thousands of years. So Bayis Sheni is more chomer, the Chulbin was more serious, was more severe for us, and therefore we pick to commemorate Bayis Sheni rather than Bayis Rishon. But in theory, if you think about it, first, I'm going to fast on the night of Thomas also. Wouldn't it be crazy? There's some talk about the minute to fast. There's a minute, some people have to fast on the night of Thomas. It's not a popular minute today, but it is quoted in the post. Some of the minute to fast both the 9th and the 17th because of Chulin Ma'aseh Rishon as well. But it's not a day, it's only a minute somehow. So you see that the number 17 is not really stone. It's not so mechuyev not for the 17th. So how, when we fast on the 17th, is that a kiyum in a sense for Ma'aseh Rishon also? The answer is that what's more important than the date of the times per se is the month. And if you look at the Navi Zechariah, you'll understand. How does the Navi Zechariah describe the Tainios? Chedesh Arvi v'Chedesh HaChamishi. It doesn't even say the day in the Navi, because the day is not as important. Lamaisi, you have to fast the day. I can't decide, okay, well, I'm 17th, I'm going on vacation, so I'll fast the 3rd. Lamaisi, the Chazal and Misaka to fast after the 17th. But the Ikaron, the 17th, is not absolutely written in stone. It's not Ched Loyav the 17th. In theory, it can also be recounted the Thomas on the 18th also. Because anyway, the 17th is not the absolute day. Anyway, it's the month of Thomas, the whole period. That's the time of Chorban. And the same is true when it comes to Tzom Gedalia, this is Reb Chaim. Tzom Gedalia, Gimel Tishrei is written in stone. Not only is Gimel Tishrei not written in stone, Gimel Tishrei, Gedalia wasn't even killed in Gimel Tishrei. He was killed in Aleph Tishrei, he was killed in Rosh Hashanah. So because of a quirk that Rosh Hashanah happens to be Rosh Hashanah, he happened to have been killed on Aleph Tishrei, so we can't have a Titus on Aleph Tishrei, so never we pushed it off to Gimel Tishrei. But there's nothing special holy about Gimel Tishrei. Nothing happened, absolutely nothing happened historically in Gimel Tishrei that should warrant the Titus. So why do we fast in Gimel Tishrei? It's Chaydish Hashmi, the seventh month had certain dimensions of Churban to it. So the death of Gedalia was like the final blow to the Churban. Yasar B'Tavis was the beginning of the Churban, then Shivas HaMatamas, then Tishuav, and then the final grand finale was in Tzom Gedalia was the leftover from the Malchus Beis David. He would be the last possible remnant of a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and even that ended up in a disaster, and he was killed, and he was killed by Jews, and a lot of Jews were killed at the time. It was a terrible situation. So Chazal saw that Gadol Misas Tzadikim Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Kisrei Fesbel Elokeinu, and they felt that it's kedai to be kaveya tainus as part of the churban tainios for the death of Gedalia. But the mice, you can die on Gimel Tishrei, not on Aleph Tishrei. So if you're already not on the right day, what's the difference whether you commemorate his death on the 3rd day or the 4th day? At the end of the day, we're commemorating the month. It's a Chedesh Hashvi, has a certain dimension of churban to it. So Reb Chaim says all the other tainios, namely Tisha B'Av, Shmos B'Tamos, so we can play around with, because the day anyway is not as important. What's really critical is the Chedesh Arvi, Chedesh HaChamish, Chedesh HaShvi. That's what really matters. Zom Reb Chaim, this is the Chedesh of Devil Drum. That Asar B'Tavis is the only tainios that corresponds to a historical event that happened on the 10th of Teves and cannot be moved. You can't fast on the 11th of Teves. What do you do on the 11th of Teves? It says in the Pesukim Yecheskel, the Etzem Hayom Hazeh. It was in this day. It wasn't on the 6th, it wasn't on the 15th, it wasn't on the 12th, it wasn't on that. The Etzem Hayom Hazeh. The fast on the 11th day of Teves would be meaningless, as we find. It wouldn't be a key of anything. We'd be losing out the event proper of the beginning of the siege of Yerushalayim. Therefore, that's what David Drum meant when he quotes the Etzem Hayom Hazeh. He didn't mean to say Asar B'Teves is on par with Yom Kippur. What he meant to say is as follows. Yom Kippur, you also fast on Shabbos. Why? What are you going to feel? No, we'll fast tomorrow. Fast tomorrow. Fast on Sunday. No joke. He says, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. It's the 10th of Tishrei. You can't negotiate Yom Kippur. You can't make a cheshbon. We'll eat today and we'll fast tomorrow. It's a joke. The Torah says that there's only one day of Yom Kippur. It's only the 10th day of Tishrei. It's all there is right no more. So you can't maneuver. You can't play around with the date. So that's what Avud Ram is giving as a mashal. Just as by Yom Kippur, it's not shayach to play around, to touch with the date. Because Biatzam Yom Hazeh, with the Nami, you cannot even dream of playing with the date of a Sarbatay, because it's also a din of Biatzam Yom Hazeh. That's what the Avodah Zarah meant. So Reb Chaim says, and the marker for this Yisrael is Titus Chalom. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that you're allowed to fast the Titus Chalom even on Shabbos. It's not great, it's not a nice thing, you'll have to make it up tomorrow, whatever. But Nigra did it's mutter to fast the Titus Chalom even on Shabbos. Why? Because the Titus Chalom is also a Titus Abo Bayoyim. The Tainus Chalom is also a Tainus that requires mamish that day. There's no way to fast any other day. You can't maneuver. You can't play around with Tainus Chalom. If you're going to push off Tainus Chalom, it's going to defeat the whole purpose. If you're going to push off a Sarbat Tavis, you're going to defeat the whole purpose. You'll have no key of Tainus if it's going to be the next day. So that's a chinish by Sarbat Tavis. That's not true by Tishrov, not true by Shavuot Tavis, not true by Tzom Gedalia. That's where you end up with a strange scenario. But of course Tishrov is more chomer than Tzom Gedalia. Of course Tishrov is more chomer than a Sarbat Tavis. I'm sorry. But it doesn't matter. It's not the Chumra Shagoy that is responsible for this chiluk. The source of the distinction is the fact that one date is maneuverable and one date is not maneuverable. It's not negotiable. Some date is not negotiable. Some gedayish or some tapas is not negotiable. This is Reb Chaim. This is a famous story that appears in the tradition of Chaim al-Shas. But the Chayyim want to question this view of Reb Chaim based on the following. This din that you're allowed to fast the Tanis Chalom on Shabbos, is there more to it than that? Reb Chaim just presents to that. It's mutter because there's no choice. There's more to it than that. The Baal Amor, Maseches Pesachim, in the sixth Perek of Pesachim, there was a whole discussion about how to celebrate Yom Tov. Whether Gemara comments that there's a seemingly stirim pesukim about what's the proper way to celebrate a regular day of Yom Tov. On the one hand, the Torah says Atzeres Tiyalochem, and the other hand, the Torah says Atzeres LaShem Lekecha. So, what is Yom Tov? Is it Yom Tov a day for yourselves to enjoy eating and drinking and family and everything? Is that the motif of Yom Tov? Was Yom Tov supposed to be Atzeres LaShem Lekecha? It used to be in the Bishmedish in the Shul, and there's no room for eating and drinking and family time. It's just Mamishkul LaShem. It's Machlekes Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. How do you resolve this contradiction? So where Rabbi Eliezer says it's Okul Hashem, Okul Lachem. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to pick one, whichever model you want. You want to be in the Mishpatish all day, that's fine. You want to sit and eat and drink all day, that's also fine. Either one. And we don't postulate that. We postulate Rabbi Yeshua that it's the Torah is not giving us two models, the Torah is giving us one model to merge together, Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lachem. You have to combine a little bit of both. You have to be half and half. Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lachem. That's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara has a whole sugya. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's theoretically mutter to fast on Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Eliezer, a person can sit in the Beis Medrash all day, and he's learning and davening all day, and he's not eating. So in theory, you can end up fasting on Yom Tov. So that's what the Gemara says, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you talk to fast on Yom Tov, with the exception of a few days. There are a few days of the year that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that you're not permitted to fast. The Gemara says, even though Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to fast on Sukkot, you're allowed to fast on Shemini Atzeres, but you're not allowed to fast on Shavuos. It says that Mold Rebbe Laz Dabina Lachem. It's Yom Shemini Torah LeYisrael. We spoke about the Shavuos time. Yom Shemini Torah LeYisrael. So even Rebbe Laz agrees you're not allowed to fast on Shavuos. Then the Gemara says another day Rebbe Laz agrees you're not allowed to fast. It's Erev Yom Kippur. It's a special Yom Kippur in of itself. You're not allowed to fast. So Rebbe Laz concedes for that. It's some soup, the whole story. Then the Gemara says on Purim Rebbe Laz says you're not allowed to fast because it says you make Mishtiv Simcha. So the Megillah doesn't give you an option. The Megillah doesn't say, it's okay, you don't have to eat on Purim, don't have a suda, just sit in the Beis Medrash and learn Maseches Megillah, that's not an option. You have to have a suda on Purim, you may miss the Simcha. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar agrees on Shabbos, because the Kurasta Shabbos Oineg, there's a bit of Oineg on Shabbos, which Rabbi Elazar seems to hold doesn't exist on Yom Tov. So even Rabbi Elazar agrees you're not supposed to fast on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, in theory, according to Rabbi Elazar, you could fast on other days. And we don't pass it like that. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua, you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov, because that would be a bittul of Atzeres. That would be a bittul of Atzeres Tiyalachem. That would be a bittul of Chatzim Lachem and Chatzim Hashem. So in this whole sugya, fasting on Yom Tov, the Baal HaMor is a whole shtickle Torah. Take a look. It's in the back of the Gemara's. And of Samaches, Mabez. There's no riff on the middle prakim of Pesachim because it's all about Korbanos. The riff only wrote on things which are relevant to Lamaisa. So the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 9th prakim of Pesachim is all about Korban Pesach. There's no riff whatsoever. There really wouldn't have been any Baal HaMor either, but there are a few sugars here and there that got snuck in between Lamaisa. So Baal HaMor found a few places here and there. So it's a funny, if you look at the Tzur Sadaf in the back of the Gemara, it's a Baal HaMor without a riff. Normally, I know what they did in the new Gemaras, I don't know what they possibly could have done for this. But in the old Gemaras, Baal HaMor is always a comment on the bottom of the riff. Here there's no riff. So they just put the Baal HaMor front and center. There's a whole page of Baal HaMor. It's just Baal HaMor. No one else has anything to say. So the Baal HaMor has the following discussion about Tainius on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Baal HaMor develops a Yisoid. It's more brisket than the brisket. The briskets always have two dinim, and the Baal HaMor has three dinim. Baal HaMor says there are three different types of Tainius, but not every Tainius is the same. When a person doesn't eat, a person cannot eat for three distinct halachic reasons. Sometimes a person doesn't eat because he's be'evel and sa'ar, and he's so depressed, and he's in this abel sach ve'efa yisal rabim. So that's one type of a tainus. So Baal HaMor says that tainus is out of the question. You're not allowed to do that on any Yom Kaddish. He says, even Purim you're not allowed to do that. Even Chanukah you're not allowed to do that. Even days of Megillah's tainus, I think Rosh Hashanah, they used to have these mini Yom Tovim, the days of Bayesheni, to celebrate different victories and different events in the Beis HaMikdash. They had all these little quasi-Yom Tovim, these minor holidays that don't exist anymore. The Gemara says in the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that after the Churban they were mevatel the Gimel Tainus, because there were all these little Yom Tovim in the days of Ba'isheni which were celebrating this victory and that victory and this Yeshua and that Yeshua. But once the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and they're celebrating the Yeshua, there's no Yeshua anymore now, it's Churban. So they did away with the whole Megillah Steinus. The Gemara says they really should have done away with Chanukah and Purim also, because Chanukah and Purim were part of those list of mini Yom Tov, and Chanukah and Purim they kept. Chanukah and Purim they felt that it's Tzorach L'Dairis, there are things that we can learn from Chanukah and Purim, even in the absence of the Beis Hamikdash. So we still have Chanukah and Purim left, but short of Chanukah and Purim, the whole Megillah Steinus is brought to. So in the old days, when there used to be Megillah Steinus, so in the days of Megillah Steinus, you're not allowed to fast on. You're not allowed to have Espedim on. There were days of Simcha. So the Baal HaMor says, Madoch, you're not allowed to fast on a day of Megillah Steinus. So you're allowed to fast the Tainus Shal Evel on Pesach. But that's ridiculous. How could Rebbe Elazar say that? How could anybody say that? You're allowed to be Mesabel on Yom Tov. That's ridiculous. So of course the Tainus of Avelus is not a question on Yom Tov. Then that's the first type of Tainus. Then you have another kind of Tainus, says the Baal HaMor, which is the Tainus that I'm not fasting. It's just I'm busy doing something else. I'm sitting in these natural days. I never got around to eating today. I forgot breakfast, got lunch, got supper. That's a different kind of tiredness. That's what the Lazar was talking about. I'm so orangutan I'm learning, I'm having everything. I'm not sad. The Lazar wasn't sad when he fasted on Pesach. The Lazar wasn't sad when he didn't eat on Shemini Atzeres. He was very happy. He was just busy doing other things. He was learning and not things. Now you can discuss a tiredness like that on Yom. Then the third kind of a tiredness, he says, is which it's an intention, tiredness, but it's not the same as the first one. The first one is the tiredness because you're miserable. The third is the tiredness of tshuva. A person wants to, because of the tshuva, he wants to use the tiredness to help him because of the tshuva. So the Baal HaMor says such a tiredness is potentially permissible on Shabbos. Why? Because why should the tiredness be also on Shabbos? Because it's a bit of Enik Shabbos. Enik Shabbos is a certain degree subjective. Let's say, if I hate shul, I don't like eating shul. I haven't liked shul, but I don't like shul. So you mechut the shul on Shabbos. I hate the shul, so don't eat shul on Shabbos. A person doesn't like gefilte fish on Shabbos, so don't eat gefilte fish on Shabbos. You're not mechut to eat what you don't like. Enik Shabbos is the Enik bit of the tzar. So that's what the Baal HaMor writes. If a person really wants to be chayz b'tshuva, and he's going to be very upset when he eats, he wants to be sitting, say, tell him all day, he wants to be daven and just follow the whole day to be chayz b'tshuva, and he'll feel great about it. That's a Kabbalah Shabbos. Shabbos. A person doesn't feel happy on Yom Kippur, a person be chayz b'tshuva, it's a Yom Sin, they feel very good on Yom Kippur. So says the Baal HaMor that kindness of tshuva is not intrinsically a problem on Shabbos, and the Baal HaMor says, Haraya, time is chalom. The Tanis Chalom is mutter on Shabbos. You know why it's mutter on Shabbos? Because that's goofy einig. You want to revert the gzeirah. Not chalilus. Something bad happened. Nothing bad happened. You want to prevent something bad from happening. That's a Tanis or tshuva, not a Tanis Shal Evel. So Tanis or tshuva is mutter on Shabbos. If that's correct, based on the Baal HaMor, we have to go back to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim made an equation between Tanis Chalom being mutter and a Sarbatavis being mutter. Reb Chaim says that basically all the time here should have been mutter on Shabbos. It should have been mutter to fast Shabbos HaBatamos. It should have been mutter to fast on Gedal yesterday. Everything should have been mutter. It's just a quirk because you can do it tomorrow. Why do it today? Why do it today? You can do it tomorrow. That's bad news. Why do it today? You can do it tomorrow. Supposedly don't put off tomorrow. You can do it today. But nothing. So comes Reb Chaim and says that the same way the Gemara says that Tanis Chalom is mutter on Shabbos, so too all the other times should also be mutter on Shabbos. Except for the quirk, you can do it tomorrow. And therefore, Sarbatavis doesn't have that quirk, doesn't have that ability. So, Ramele, it's Mamashek Atanis Chalom. The question is that true? Is that equation correct? The Chara, that equation depends on what's the nature of Tanis of Tzom Gedalia, what's the nature of a Sarbatavis, what's the nature of a Shuas of Atamus. What kind of Tanis are these? Are these Tanis of Avelus? Are these Tanis of Tshuva? What's the motif? What's the goal? What are we supposed to be accomplishing with these Tanis? Are these days of misery, we're so sad, we're being misapples, we're based on Mikdash. That's the real point of these tiniest. Or the point of these times is to wake us up. Wait a second. There was a Churban. Yes, it's true. It happened a long time ago. But it should be a chizik for us. It should encourage us to be chizik b'tshuva. That's the point of these tiniest. They're not tiniest of avdeus, not tiniest of misery. The tiniest of to utter us all above us. So if you look at the Rambam in the end of it was tiniest, the Rambam seems to mention both dimensions, with the emphasis being on the tshuva part. The Rambam writes that the real point of these tiniest is really tshuva. Not mistaken, writes in his special Mishnayos, that the reason why we don't say Ni'ilah, why don't we say Ni'ilah today? Why do we only say Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur? So Tzitzit Yantav writes that Ni'ilah is a tefillah shel tshuva. When you have a tiniest shel tshuva, Yom Kippur is the ultimate tiniest tshuva. The right tiniest tiniest tshuva. When you have tiniest, let's say, for Geshamim, so those are the chayz b'tshuva, the Kesh Baruch Hu should answer our tefillahs. says it as Yom Tov when we fast on Tisha B'Av, Shabbos of Tammuz, it's on the Tavis, it's on Gedalia. It's always nice to be chayes b'tshuva. Tshuva is a good thing. It's good all year long, especially chayes b'tshuva. But the motif of the Tainus is the theme of the Tainus is Avelos. It's a time of Shal Tzar, it's a time of Shal Bechi. So not a time for the Ilan. The Ilan is a time for Tshuva. The Ilan is not a time for you being Mis'abel. So if you take that approach, then the Reb Chaim's equation isn't correct. Reb Chaim wanted to use it the Dimyan. Just as you can fast on the Tainus Chalam on Shabbos, so too you can fast the Sabbath Tavis on Shabbos. That's not true. That Yesh L'Chalam, one's a Tainus of Tshuva, one's a Tainus of Avelos. So Reb Chaim seemed to be assuming that all the tainus are fundamentally tainus of tshuva. That the point of the tainus of all the tainus of some gedalia, some tevis, shows that was even tishavot. Perhaps the eager thrust of the tainus is really a tainus of tshuva. So the ikaron really should have been mutter shabbos. It should have been mamash like a tainus chalom. And the only reason why lamais that some gedalia shows some tavos and tishavot get bumped off to the next day is because anyway it wasn't so important to fast that day. Gimel tishrei wasn't written in stone anyway. You have nothing to lose by fasting on dalat tishrei. But the Ikaron, these tainus are much closer to the model of a tainus of tshuva, the tainus of tainus chalom, than they are to any other tainus. According to Yisro Chaim, according to the Tzimri of the Rambam, turns out that today is in a certain sense, so there's a double kim of tshuva. It's the first day of this esmer tshuva, it's not a Yom Kaddush, and there's a dual kim of tshuva here. There's a din of tshuva because it's an esmer tshuva. So obviously, Yiddish Hashem b'motzo was a mechayev of tshuva. There's a special thing you do tshuva during the esmer tshuva. In addition to that, it also has a seventh dimension. There's a dimension of being a Yom Tainus. Well, Yom Tainus, by its very definition, there's always a time that's suitable for tshuva, and especially that's the thrust of the entire Tainus. And in theory, we really could have fasted yesterday. It wouldn't have been such a stirut to Shabbos to fast yesterday, because Tainus Shal Tshuva is fundamentally mutter and Shabbos. The only reason why we didn't do it is because, why do it? Why should we ruin Shabbos yesterday? We could do it today. You have nothing to lose by fasting today. But in Karol, there's not a stirut per se between the Tainus of tshuva and Shabbos. So, that whole day, cut out for ourselves. We spoke about this in the past, the greatest form of tshuva is limud haTorah. What does tshuva mean? It means to return. So who are we returning to? We're returning to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Hashiveinu. What's the bracha of tshuva? The bracha of tshuva is the bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, Hashiveinu Avinu Sarasecha. For the greatest fulfillment of Yom Tov is to sit in line. The person comes back to limud haTorah, comes back to the Rebbeinu Shlom. So that's the beginning of the tshuva process, hopefully, to the karech of limud haTorah. That should help the person in the fash bishma maizah, mahara b'tshuva, and try to figure out how to correct things and to work in hands of it. So we have a word cut out for us. Okay, so let's stop here early today, but hopefully we'll take this message and take it through the day. So tomorrow back to regular schedule, right? Normal day tomorrow. Stay back to soccer, hopefully, right?